What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Start up, Brooklyn boys. Start up, Brooklyn boys. They making noise. Start up.
Episode 162. This is the Brooklyn Boys Podcast.
162.
Yeah, we made it.
It reminds me of 1962. I was not alive, but that's the year the Mets became a team, and you know we're fans.
Yeah.
So 62 reminds me of the Mets. I didn't bring it up at episode 62, but now that we've got a one, it's like three out of the four digits for 1962.
Wow. You waited 100 episodes and probably 2 years to
right.
bring
so
up
I'm
that
letting
fact.
You know, I'm letting you know, I'm not going to do the math here, and please don't tweet me on the math, but when we get to episode 1,962, that'll be a while from now.
That'll be the year,
right?
Yeah,
the year.
It's a lot of years.
It'll be 1,800 episodes from now.
Wow, how far do you think this thing is going to go before we crash?
Oh, we'll probably end around
1,600.
163. Yeah, 161.
Right.
Next week 163.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see how this goes.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you are a new listener, welcome. We are the Brooklyn Boys. I'm Scary. That's Brody. And
I'm Brody. That's Scary.
Yeah, exactly. In either direction. Mm-hmm. Enjoy this episode. But after this episode is over, we have a rule.
Go back listen
to
in order.
Yeah. Listen in order and go back to episode zero. So please take the journey with us, because a lot of the things that we refer to on this podcast, and we haven't, that's why I'm covering this right now, because we haven't covered it in a while. But the truth of the matter is we do a lot of inside jokes. There's a lot of language that you're going to hear. That some of it will be offensive.
Mostly scary. He's got a potty mouth.
But other language that you're going to hear may be stuff that you're like, what was that word? I didn't understand.
Oh, you mean slang, Brooklyn boy slang.
Yeah, Brooklyn slang.
Yeah. Speaking of things you might not know or understand, we've been trying to get on the Deezer app.
Yeah.
For just because we weren't on Deezer. We didn't really, who cares? Right? So we got on Deezer and we may have a problem.
We don't know yet.
Well, here's the problem. And I told you I was going to mention it later, but I can't wait. So we got on Deezer. We announced we're on Deezer. And I don't think it's possible, because anyone who heard us mention Deezer last week wouldn't be part of the problem. You would have had to have heard that we're on Deezer. And then it'd be a problem. So now that I think about it, we don't have a problem yet.
But we could. We may.
But last week's episode, 161, you guys listened in order. So you've all heard it by now, unless you're brand new. For some reason.
Yeah.
And you can tweet us, by the way. And what's today's date? What are we?
Today's
the 10th?
Today's February 10th.
I'll give you till the 13th.
After that,
like a month from now, it's too late to tell us. But if you listen to this episode or the couple episodes in a row, it seems like a lot of people have not listened to episode 161 within the first week like you normally do. So Scary's theory is you didn't listen on time because of Super Bowl weekend. But we released the episode Wednesday night. Yeah.
The other theory I have, the Scary theory number two, is the fact that they didn't send a notification to remind you to listen. So hence the low listenership.
So here's our reminder. Okay. I learned, by the way, that I didn't update my my iHeartRadio app on my phone. Mm-hmm. And I'm at the version right before notifications became a daily thing. So I'm not getting notifications.
Right.
Okay. There's a reason I'm not updating. It's a long story, but you guys should update, right? So if you are assuming that we don't have a new episode because you didn't get a notification, don't assume that. You know we do an episode every week.
Every week. Now, something week. Now when we're on vacation.
We're on in which case, we'll tell you, hey, we're on vacation.
We're on vacation. We're not going to be here. But we may have a surprise for you. We may get some free dessert next week. We'll see. We're working on it.
The lawyers are talking right now.
But we are on vacation. The big
show. The house managers are putting on a presentation for
Elvis Duran Big Show is on vacation next week. So we are scheduled.
The week of President's Day week. Yeah.
We're scheduled
we can't say next week because we don't know when you're listening to this.
Right. But we're scheduled to be off the week of the 15th.
But we have an idea. We have a thing. Yeah. We got a thing.
We may drop something. We may drop it like it's hot.
Boom. So here's the other problem.
Ugh.
We aren't sure yet if you listen on Deezer, if we get credit for the listen.
Why are you talking to the Deezer audience? There's probably two people listening on Deezer.
I understand that. But until we confirm... switch back off Deezer to however you normally listen.
All right.
Because I don't want Deezer to bury us because we didn't get credit for it.
My brain hurts already. God, we're only four minutes in here, Brody.
Whoa, I got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we do.
Speaking of a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
The merchandise store.
Yeah, what are we going to do with that? You know, we need to clear out the current inventory before we start to bring in new items for spring. But... You know, it's going to be pretty warm quick enough. So let's sell those tank tops. Ladies, I'm talking to you. And guys, well, maybe I'm talking to some of you too. Buy a tank top.
Buy a tank top. Yeah. You know, muscle tees.
Whatever. Yeah,
I would just go up a size because they were, you know, originally women's size. Yeah,
brooklynboys.bigcartel.com.
That's brooklynboys.bigcartel.com. I want to throw everybody off who was waiting.
Your timing was off. Your cat got your tongue.
No, I wanted to do a dramatic pause.
Oh, I see.
Because everyone was going, we didn't do it. No,
right.
I did it. So there's some things we know are very popular, and we're going to fill in some sizes soon.
Yeah.
But before we can place a big order, we got to move out some of the things that are there.
Yeah.
And get an idea of, what we're going to bring in next.
Right.
Oh, by the way, Janovic. I think it was Janovic. I don't want to give the wrong credit. I think it was our listener, Janovic.
It's always Janovic. Or is it Shady Jew Mobster? It's one of the two.
No, it was Janovic.
Big slices for life.
He says, I'm up to episode 113 again.
Again.
Again. Another time. This is the episode where you discuss the merch for brooklynboys.bigcartel.com. I'm waiting for the phone case and pizza cutter. Maybe mounted singing fish. The big mouth Billy Bass, which in our case would be like big mouth, Joey Shark or something.
Right.
So... Yeah, we're still exploring what we're going to bring out next, but we just got the email from the big boss at the company and said, oh, you're missing some sizes. What are you going to order? So give us an idea if you guys still want shirts. If you tried to go buy shirts and we didn't have your size, let us know.
Now, this weekend coming up is Valentine's Day weekend, and on Sunday, I'm planning to do something that I have never, ever done.
Oh, treat your girlfriend with respect?
Hi-o! See, I set you up for that joke, because I knew you were going to insert funny line here. I figured I would tee it up for you.
Aw, you think it was funny.
The truth of the matter is, what I haven't done forever is stay home.
That's your own D. Oh, sorry. Again.
Stay home on Valentine's Day.
Wait. Bless you.
Ooh, COVID.
Oh, by the way, that sneeze is a friendly reminder for me to friendly remind everyone. There's no M in Valentine's Day. It's not Valentine's.
It's Valentine's Day.
Valentine's.
And it's not Valentine Day. It's Valentine's. So I'm going to stay home. My girlfriend's going to cook for me at her house for the first time ever.
How can you stay home if she's cooking at her house? You bring in the food?
Well, we're
cooking at your house.
Let me put that. We are staying home as a couple. We have never stayed home. We've always gone out to eat at a restaurant.
So you're staying at her home.
For Valentine's, yes.
Wow, when was the last time you slept at her house?
Well, it's been a minute, but...
Yeah.
But...
It's always at the man's house.
True, but even moreover, the bigger feat here, the bigger accomplishment...
Who has bigger feet? I hope you.
I think, yeah, I do, definitely do.
You got some jabronis.
She's Yeah, she's going to cook. So I think I'm looking forward to it. And obviously, these are extraordinary times. So
she's cooking. What are you doing? What are you bringing?
Besides
my dick, your big feet.
My dick in a box.
As long as it's a heart-shaped box, you're fine.
Right.
A dick in a heart-shaped box.
Did you ever do that when you were growing up?
No.
You know, there's Valentine's Day traditions, right? First of all, the couple dresses in red, like all red. It's like, oh, it's the Valentine's couple. I'm red, you're red. So you wear red shirts and
red
everything.
Red satin sheets.
Red everything.
No, you never did that?
You weren't the couple that went out to eat and dressed in red?
No.
Dinner?
What are we, like people who go to Disney wearing matching clothing?
Were you the couple that did the rose petal trail to the bed with the rose petals?
No.
Were you the couple where she shaved her bush in the shape of a red heart?
Okay, all right, okay. Stop.
And you had a heart on for her red shaved bush. No?
It's harder to do that these days since most people don't have any.
That's very true. That's what I'm saying back in the day. I'm going back to the 90s.
Dude, people still had bush in the early, up until like 2010, I think.
Was that when they eradicated the bush?
Yeah, and by the way, you know why that is? You know why the whole genital shaving thing?
Porn.
You know, porn.
Yeah, porn started.
You get
started
a better
it.
View of the old hoo-ha.
Right. It's all clear. You get to see.
I didn't need a better view. I mean, I watched a lot of porn back in the day. Right. I saw everything fine.
So with the advent of porn, it caused women to shave more.
No, not the
Is
advent
Is that what you're
porn.
Trying to say?
No, I'm saying, no, the advent of porn, no one was complaining about porn in the 80s. When
no,
it was all,
no, but I'm
all
saying,
natural.
But no, you're saying that caused in real life, that's life imitates art.
Yes, it's life, well, art, you call it what you want.
It's art.
It's life imitating, you know, people porn. Men got turned on by seeing women in videos do that. And then it
somehow translates to real
life. It spread, pun intended, to the outside porn world.
But women will tell you that they did it for themselves and they did it as a hygiene thing and not for the guy. Because that would be, I mean, why would you do that for your guy? You could do it for yourself, right? Isn't that what it's all about? Doing it for yourself?
You can say that.
Well, it's true.
I don't want to, you can get into that debate. We're not going to get into that debate. Because that's the thing. It's the whole, oh, I do it for me, I do it for you, I did it for, you know.
Yeah.
If there are people who might say, if you go out with a blouse on and your large boobs are 90% out.
Right. She dresses for herself.
Right, but then I expect you to stare down at them all day like we are.
So you're saying if they're out, you're going to look.
Unless they're warm and you're trying to cool them
off.
But
they're not there for your looking. They're there for... I'm sorry, devil's advocate here.
I'm saying there are people who say that. I'm not saying I say that.
But you think that they did it deliberately and they're dressing for you.
If I put on nice clothing.
Or are you tongue tied tonight?
No, if I put on nice clothing.
Right.
Right. It makes me feel 5% maybe. I'm like, oh, I look good tonight. It's 95%, so other people will think I look good. Because that's why you do.
You
that's
sure
why
about that, though?
You get dressed and you put on your $5,000 smoking jacket, right? When you go Brooklyn Industrial. Are you doing that because you feel better about Skiri Jones? Or you do it so people will go, wow, look at that smoking jacket he's wearing.
I want to feel good about myself. I look in the mirror. I'm like, you know what? I'm confident.
Look good to other people.
I'm more confident tonight. And
yes,
I'm going
because,
out in this smoking jacket.
Because you look good to other people.
Oh. And they say when you give a compliment, you're not supposed to say that dress looks great on you. You're supposed to say you make that dress look great.
Does that
carry it too far there?
It depends on who the person is. But if you want to dress like a clown with makeup and a big red afro, then you're dressing for yourself. Because then you don't care what other people think. But if you are wearing current trendy clothing, right?
Yeah.
And you're going on stage at Jingle Ball, right? You want to look good in pictures. Because other people are seeing those pictures.
So I didn't dress for me that night. I dressed for the masses.
Of course. You dress a percentage.
You know what's something that most people, well, women are disagreeing right now. They're shaking their head. But I will say here's something that may support your argument. When you get engaged, right? When you get that ring.
Right.
What do you like to do with that ring?
You like to brag and show it off.
You to show it off at everybody. Oh, got to see the ring. First of all, everyone wants to see the ring. That's the first thing they ask for.
You're not walking around with your palm down, fingers out for you.
Right. You do it and you photograph it and you make it prominent.
You're bragging.
So in that case, the ring is for your friends and your family, not for you. Would you go so far as to say that?
Right. If you wear a pair of tight jeans, right, they make your ass look good. If you say you're doing it for yourself, you're lying because you can't see your own ass. You're lying. Why do you look good in jeans? Because society has determined what looks good in jeans. So you are making yourself look good according to societal norms because you want society to think you look good in those jeans. If you say, oh, I'm wearing these jeans because they make my ass look good for me, but you don't see your ass, but you know your ass looks good but to it, who?
To other people
who now think, you know what, that diet's working. That time at the gym is working. You want them to see that you look good in those jeans.
So
it's both.
So it's a bullshit statement when you say, I dress for me.
Yeah, but, you know.
I don't know. You know, I think there's
when I put a Met jersey on, and I go to a Mets game.
Right.
Am I doing it for me, or I want everyone in the stands to see my Mets jersey? I want people on television to see my, I want the other fans to see I'm one of them. I'm not wearing the Met jersey to make myself feel
it's a great,
good.
Listen, it's a great debate. It's a debate that's been around a while. But I feel like in recent years, the tables have turned and people are starting to say, bop, 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 bop.
Yeah, but
I dress for me, not for you.
Right, I know. Listen, I have three daughters and I had this conversation with one of my daughters 3 days ago. I said something like, I don't want to get into the details, but I said, you can't go out like that. It was a ridiculous outfit. It wasn't like I was being over. That was a ridiculous joke outfit she put together.
Right.
She goes, why? I go, because whatever I said, she goes, well, I dress for me. It doesn't matter what other people think. I go, it matters if you get arrested dressed like that.
It has an effect, because it has an effect on people. It has a ripple effect.
You can say you're going outside in your underwear and a bra and it's to make you feel sexy. You're getting attention, which makes you feel good, but that's okay.
But they're trying to say that the attention is your own fault. I'm giving you the attention.
If I dress for me, if you dress for you, the attention you get for most people, not everybody, right, is what makes you feel good.
Wow. If
I buy new sneakers, I buy a new jacket, I look good. I go, oh, I look good today. But it's also, don't kid yourself, most people, not speaking for everybody, most people also like when somebody goes, hey, you look good in that jacket.
Right.
Then you go, thanks. I thought so too.
Right.
I think it's both. I think it's not just 100%. Anyway.
People might think that we're chauvinist pigs, that we.
I said men too. If you put on jeans, make your ass look good.
Right.
You know.
All right. Well.
To who? Not to you.
Speaking of people that we lost as listeners, I got to read something for you. This just came through.
I hope we didn't lose anybody in the dress. No,
it's my fault. It's my fault. I might have lost a listener on our.
Then you owe me half a listener.
Oh my God. Well, okay. So someone left. They knew we were going to see it. And this is, someone left an Abe 77 type review.
Oh, fuck that. Go ahead.
On Apple Podcasts. This came from Samantha Ashley 925.
She used her whole name?
Yeah. She gave out podcast once.
Smashley?
Samashley. Samantha. She gave out podcast one star on February 5th on Apple Podcasts. And she wrote, love Brody.
Oh, okay. She's fine then. Okay,
next. Love is Rants.
Oh.
Was a big slice for life. This is where I want to break this down. Was a big slice for life for a while, but no longer can deal with Skiri and his nonchalance to a worldwide pandemic. Stop making fun of Brody for being cautious. Now, there's several levels of issue I take with this. First of all, if you were a slice for life, you would have been a slice for life. You see that phrase, how that works? And it wouldn't matter. You'd know us of 161 episodes that you wouldn't write us off for something that you may disagree with or a joke that might have been off color or something I may have said. It's the whole culture of being part of, you don't dismiss your friends, do you? Does Samantha actually dismiss her friends and family because they might have said something she disagreed with? Or it just doesn't make any sense that she would drop us flat and leave a one-star review. Ouch.
Did you say she was Samantha Ashley 9 to 5?
Yeah.
I wonder if that's like 9 to 5. Like she works.
No, 9 to 5 is probably September 25th. It's probably her birthday.
Nah, I like 9 to 5. I'm going with that. Big Dolly Parton fan. Here's what I'll say. If you have a complaint about Skiri, it's, first of all, I understand where it's coming from as a listener, but you guys should know if you're Slice for Life.
First of all, we're a team.
We're a team, and it's tongue in cheek. Skiri.
Yeah.
It's Skiri pokes fun at me.
Yeah.
But then I forcefully push back to remind everyone that regardless of where you live, people are dying. We're in a pandemic. And
right. Of course.
I may be more cautious.
And I'm a little bit more Skiri. Liberal.
I'm a little bit country.
Well, I'm not really liberal. I'm a little bit more free. But no, but hold on. She gets the snowflake jingle.
No.
But hold on.
100% no.
We want to. The Slices would agree. Yes. No.
Getting offended by loose lip pandemic talk is a snowflake.
Here's the comment I think that,
see,
that I said.
You're downplaying the pandemic.
No,
again.
I'm not. This is what I said. I just found it odd that Brody and his family would have the courage to go to do outdoor dining. This is for your birthday, right? Yeah. You went outside for your birthday and you were socially distant. Tables were far apart and you were socially distant. You were outside eating and you guys had your entire meal with your masks on when people who decide to go out and actually enter that arena, most of the time don't have their masks on at the dinner table. So precautions were being followed. The CDC guidelines were being followed. Let me tell you something. If that restaurant wasn't following the rules and protocol, they would have been shut down and they would have been fined.
Skiri. I don't want to rehash this too much. But the rules and protocols are there to minimize the risk, not eliminate the risk.
So I poked fun at Brody on the last episode.
My medical history, the medical history of my family.
Understood.
No, you don't. You live alone.
Right.
Right.
Understood.
So I have different reasons for being extra precautious.
Right.
And even though I'm 6 feet away, wind blows saliva. Right.
Okay, so but here's the thing, Brody.
I went out, and the point is, let's get
butthurt. No. Here's the point. The point is, everything we do on this podcast is fodder, is not taken offense to, and is taken in tongue in cheek. And that's what we do. We joke around on this podcast.
Okay,
we have silly conversations, but the thing is, I get the right to do that, to poke a little fun at you, the same way the Smashley took it seriously, which means she's not really a slice for, she's not really in the club. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on. Here's what I'll say about Smashley. Smash.
Everybody's her name is Samantha Ashley. I'm actually giving her a real name. You named her Smashley.
I'm calling her Smashley because I think it's cute. That's it. I don't want to say her name all the time. It's easier. Smashley. Ashley. Smashley.
I'm not going to give her the fuck you, Abe, 77
treatment. So here's what I'm saying to Smashley. As a slice, Smashley, I'm surprised you didn't reach out to us.
Yeah.
You know I return every tweet and DM. You could have DM'd me or hit me up at brody@elvisduran.com, which, by the way, I'm a little behind on, so don't forgive me if you've emailed me, and said, hey, listen, I feel uncomfortable. What are your thoughts? I agree with you.
Right.
You know, blah, blah, blah. And I would have said, listen, Skiri represents a large part of our audience that isn't handling the pandemic the same way I am. They may be from part of the country that isn't as horrifically affected as the New York, New Jersey area was at one point.
Was, yes.
Although indoor dining at 25% returns this weekend.
And stadiums get back at 10%. It's on February 20-something. Yeah.
Right. We are 15 million people crammed into a small area in New York City and New Jersey.
Right.
That's a lot more than most states.
Yep.
Okay? So Skiri goes about his business as safe as he feels he should be. He wears his mask.
I'm not a rule breaker.
Right.
I'm a rule maker.
So just in case anybody else feels the same way as Smashley, and maybe you were going to drop us at 164.
But the thing is this.
I would say whatever bothers you, and if you feel like you dress for yourself and your boobs are for you.
Right.
I didn't mean to offend.
Right. But there'll be people that are offended at that. But the thing is this, and on this podcast, for people listening, just, you know, we're all in this together. We are, you know, we're friends. We're just all people hanging out here.
The other thing is,
you cannot be a snowflake. I'm going to go back to the snowflake line.
Don't
snowflake. That is a snowflake move.
Here's
I don't care. Your opinion aside, your personal opinion aside, that is a snowflake move. I'm sorry.
Right,
it is.
Right.
This is, listen,
I don't think
we're not supposed to be. We don't do offense.
Serious. I think it's a serious issue.
Understood, but the thing is, in the context of the joke and poking around at each other, and then for somebody to just go online and be like, oh, fuck you guys, I'm writing you off. I'm writing you off.
Here's what I would say.
I love you, Brody, but I'm not listening anymore because Skiri has that opinion.
I do like that part. Here's what I would say about this podcast and about the Elvis Duran Morning Show that we're a part of.
We deal with this every day on a larger level with the Morning Show.
Hear me out. This isn't the podcast to cherry pick what offends you, because ultimately, after 162 episodes, we have said things that would normally offend the normal person, right? Yeah. You guys are with us because you're not the normal people.
Correct.
You love the ranting, and the
slightly offbeat humor, the
sexual innuendos, blah, S in your own D, the whole thing. It's like the Elvis Duran Show. We've had people. Right. Look, we less so now because the world has changed. But over 25 years, we'd
push the line. We would
poke fun at Polish people,
right.
Spanish people, and I mean from Spain, Puerto Ricans. We would make fun of gay people in a nice way, not like make fun of, but we would use stereotypes. We would joke around about everybody in a friendly way. But, we love everybody.
Right. And by the way, since the world has changed, you've come to podcasts like this where we could have fun. We do what we want to do. We're not offensive. We're still like your friends hanging out with you at the bar with masks on, apparently. but we're still, you know what I'm saying?
If you have a bar.
But honestly, at the end of the day, and I don't want to spend any more time on this.
No.
This podcast is not for Smashley.
No.
It's not.
What I was saying was, people would say, I've been listening for 8 years and I'm, but today you pissed me off. Why?
Right.
Because they were born in Papua New Guinea and we said something silly about Papua New Guinea. But they laughed when we joked about the Philippines.
Right. Exactly.
They joked about Indonesia.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
But as soon as we mentioned Papua New Guinea, I'm from Papua New Guinea.
right. Exactly.
You can't laugh along the road, and then the minute it lands on your head, go, you bastards. So here's what I would say, different from what Skiri's saying. If you guys know Smashley, because there's no way to respond to comments
Samantha Ashley, 925. September. She's born on September 25th, Avi. That's my brother's birthday, by the way.
What if she has a Porsche 925? Did they make
bullshit.
Those?
She was born on September 25th. Okay. Garen fucking teed. I'll bet the house on it right now. And anyway.
You don't have a house.
That's right. That's why I could bet it. It's my brother's birthday, too. Anyway, listen, we got to take a break and we got to move off because we have this bad juju going on right here. But
stop.
We have so much.
Hey, I'm a juju. Don't.
You are.
Now I'm offended. I'm not listening anymore.
Oh, you son of
I like Brody, but Skiri offends me as a juju.
Goodbye. I'm going to hit the jingle.
Hit the jingle. Brooklyn Boys Podcast
with Skiri and Brody. Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. with the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got a lot of sound and we got a lot of email to get to.
Did somebody, who said hit the jingle on the... Somebody said something on the big show where people were texting and hit the jingle. I love that. I love when Brooklyn Boys crosses over to the Elvis Duran text message page, but not a lot. Just a lot enough to just remind the people watching the text messages that you're paying attention.
Right.
Somebody promoted something. It wasn't me or Skiri. Someone else on the show promoted something. They're like, oh, hit the jingle.
Hit the jingle. All right.
Speaking of commercials, have you seen the Domino's commercial? It ran like two or three times during the Super Bowl. And it was the commercial was Harvick. It was one of the It was one of the NASCAR drivers at the end of the commercial, right? I think it was Kevin Harvick,
right?
Maybe. And they were trying to show how you can order curbside pickup for Domino's Pizza. Again, if you live in an area where Domino's Pizza is your first choice, you got to move. that being said, if Domino's wants to sponsor this podcast, you know I'm all about it. But in the commercial, I know it's for the commercial, Skiri. It just these are things that bother me. The woman opens up the back of her minivan, right? The trunk of her minivan is spotless clean, which, by the way, never happens if you have a minivan. There's nothing in the back, which never happens if you own a minivan. And they bring out a stack of a couple of pizzas, and they place them in the center of the trunk perfectly and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what bothers me. It's a nitpick. I know it's a nitpick. You're going to jump on me for it. But if you stack pizzas in the back of your minivan, right, what's going to happen when you drive?
They're going to fall over the fucking place.
They're going to slide.
Yeah.
You don't stack boxes of pizza.
No, you don't.
You put them all laid out on the bottom
of the car.
Laid out,
so you kind of lock them in like a jigsaw puzzle so they can't move.
Right, so I'd be driving back in an hour getting free dessert because they ruined my top pizza. Then I think it's Kevin Harvick. Again, it doesn't matter, okay? He's a NASCAR driver getting out of a car, and he's going through the window of the car as the joke, right? And he's in his full NASCAR gear. And a little girl in the car driving by says, "Hey, Harvick, nice pajamas," right? It's funny, but then it bothered me because if you know that's Kevin Harvick, then you friggin' know that's not pajamas. That's why that bothered me.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Because you're a NASCAR fan, you recognized him, and it's
you
like,
you recognize
duh.
Him getting out of the Harvick car.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not a NASCAR fan where I would remember the driver. Whoever it was.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
All right. Well, but that's like, just, hey, chalk that up to bad writing.
That is bad writing. It is bad writing. So that bothers me. I have some audio, by the way, coming up.
We have a lot of audio.
Commercial writing.
All right, so let's do some quick... We have a lot of email to get to that's just that have some questions for us.
Are we doing email this early?
Well, it's not the whole segment. I just wanted to kind of throw that out there.
All right. Guys, what is our email address again? I can't remember.
The Brooklyn Boys Podcast @gmail.com.
Okay, all right.
Guys, got a question. If you order takeout from a restaurant that normally does seated dining... do you still tip? I got takeout from Dinosaur Barbecue, left a 20% tip.
Very nice.
So used to filling it out when I get the bill.
Right.
It was just reflex. I'm not sure that's the right thing to do, or did I get scambonied? So that's Kevin Schuller. Now, first of all,
I understand that as the cheaper guy?
Well, before you do, is a little, it puts you in a weird spot when you get the receipt and you're standing there to bring your food, and it still says there's a tip line that needs to be filled out. You're like, why did they do this to me? They put me in an awkward spot.
Why? Don't you tip on pickup and delivery?
I do, but I don't tip the full 20. I tip 10% on delivery. On pickup.
Okay.
Delivery, I give you the full 20.
Oh, you're out. Insane.
You get 15? What do you get? 5? Percent.
Probably 10-ish.
So then, how little do you give on a pickup?
It depends. If you deliver $5 worth of food, I'll probably give you $5. Like, I'm not going to give you 10% because that's 50 cents.
You're not delivering $5 of food. You're ordering $50 of food.
No, if my kids order, like, they order DoorDash, they order the DoorDash Fridays over, it's $10. You still got to give the guy $5 tip. Because if you base it on the food, it's still one bag. It's still one drive to your house.
What do we do with Kevin here? Because Kevin, he's talking about takeout.
All right. Again, depending on your financial situation and where you live, because things cost different things in different cities, I would normally, on a pickup, give like $4 or $5.
Yeah.
$3, $4, $5, right? Not percentage, because you packed up my food, and if you packed, whether it's a steak or it's a slice of pizza, you packed up the food, you put some utensils in. However, because we're in a pandemic, and because restaurants, especially in our area, are suffering, and wait staff is suffering, and so many people got laid off, I am giving much larger tips on pickup.
I have been.
Because I'm trying to keep them in business. Because if these people can't pay the bills and can't keep the business, and the staff doesn't want to work there, then I'm not going to be able to order my calamari.
Right,
when I want,
I've been over tipping to the small businesses as well, and also my Uber drivers. I'm an Uber and Lyft. I am like going overboard. I'm giving like 25%.
Oh, I'm not getting in an Uber or a Lyft right now.
Well, but that's you. Yeah. All right, but anyway, I do freely every day. I don't care. So we got another email from a guy who doesn't want to be identified, but he says, "Let me okay. I work
Sam Ashley.
No. Okay." Brody mentioned about gas station pizza once on a previous episode in reference to Casey's of the Midwest. Yeah. Casey's is a staple in Iowa, and nearly every convenience store they build is equipped with a full kitchen. Most notably, they serve a bitchin' breakfast pizza that has a buttery cheese sauce with egg, sausage, bacon, and cheese. I could say is... that's a breakfast pizza. Don't knock it till you try it. Most out-of-town people are pleasantly surprised. So, secondly, Culver's is the only drive-through fast food restaurant. So that was Casey's. That's a gas station. Culver's is the only drive-through fast food restaurant that you should pull forward for when it comes to pulling forward. I know another listener has brought them up before. In fact, it's standard to pull forward at the drive-through. Because Culver's food is all cooked to order. You will always get a freshly grilled and assembled butter burger and may have a sign at the drive-thru. Many have a sign at the drive-thru that tells customers to come back through if their fries aren't hot enough. I'm sure Brody would still find fault with this. But in all, the service and quality makes this chain worth a five-minute wait. That's from Anonymous. So... he's trying to say that even though it's fast food, it's more like food coming up fast, and it's okay to pull forward into a spot because it's worth the extra time that it takes to
cook the food. If they're trying to give you a fresh prepared food, that's different than a taco place wanting you to pull up so they can tell their manager they're averaging a 3-minute ticket time. That's different. That's them wanting to look better and scam their bosses at your expense while you pull next to a garbage pail.
Yeah.
That's different.
Right.
So you give me a finer quality fast food, like, for instance, Rollin' Roaster in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn, where I used to be a manager. If you're from the area, you know it's fast, but it's not that fast.
It's not fast. Right.
It's like quick food, but it's excellent food.
It's quick food.
It's quick.
It's
you go to the register, you order at the counter, and you pick it up at the counter.
Not as fast food.
They don't
food.
Have a drive-through.
Not quite as fast food.
Right, we're not so fast, Rollin' Roaster was the jingle. We're not so fast, Rollin' Roaster. They were telling you in the jingle. We're not that fast.
Okay, so it's okay to pull forward. But when you're talking about the big chains that
let's get back to the pizza thing. Listen, if your breakfast pizza is good, it's really breakfast on bread.
It's breakfast,
It's an open-faced breakfast sandwich. That's really what it is. And I'm fine with that. Then it's fine.
It is.
But again, it's like white milk. If you put modifiers in front of it, if you call it breakfast pizza, then it's a different thing.
Yeah, but it's pizza. It's shaped like a pizza. It's shaped like it's got dough. If it's dough and things are on top of dough and that's defined as pizza, could you consider eggs and hash brown and bacon on top of a pizza like
that? It's really open-faced sandwich is what it is. Speaking of pizza, if I can just interject for a moment, because I've done that once or twice before.
You think?
I watched a movie recently on HBO Max.
You sounded like...
the president, President Obama.
Right? No, the horror movie.
Oh, The Grudge. But President Obama used to do that. He would right. Anyway, so I watched a movie with Denzel Washington, Rami Malek called The Little Things.
Mm-hmm. Based off your penis?
Nope. Based on your brain. And I'm going to give you a partial review.
Based on your patience?
In that the name of the movie is The Little Things, right? And he says in the movie... sometimes you catch people because of the little things. No spoilers. I'm not going to spoil the movie. Okay. That's the only time they mention it. And then the little things really have nothing to do with the plot of the movie.
Okay.
Okay. But that's not the point. There's a scene in the movie. Not going to ruin it. Not going to ruin the movie. Where they show up a pizza that a suspect has bitten. And that they're checking his bite marks against other bite marks. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not a spoiler.
Not a sponsor. Not a spoiler.
Not a sponsor. The autopsy, not the mortician. Oh, it doesn't matter. The woman doing the autopsy.
Right.
Right. She says to him, "This guy must be back. Must be from the Northeast. Look, he folds his pizza, which folding it at the crust in half.
Yes.
With a New York slice of pizza, not Chicago deep dish. Can't do that." Is a New York thing.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, as a New Yorker, I went, oh, yeah, look at that. He folds his pizza. That might be a clue. He's from the Northeast. The thing is, it was like conveyor belt Domino's pizza.
Oh.
So if he's from the Northeast,
you wouldn't most even be likely, eating that.
He wouldn't be eating it, right? At least go get it. You know what? When they filmed Iron Man, it was either Iron Man or Iron Man 2, right? They bring a box of Ray's pizza from Greenwich Village in the scene. Happy says, "I got your pizza from Ray's in the Greenwich Village." And the box is actually a box from Greenwich Village. And the slice of pizza at least looked like a New York slice of pizza. Uh-huh. They may have printed the box in California, but they made the pizza look like a New York slice.
Great.
So I give them props to Marvel for that.
Yeah.
This pizza was like, you know, doesn't matter. The point is they made a whole thing. I was just like, this guy must be from back in the Northeast. But then the rest of the movie, they don't say anybody else was killed in a similar fashion in Northeast. They never mention the Northeast again. There's no reference to the Northeast. So they just put that scene in so they can make her look like, oh, that pizza looks like it must have been eaten from someone in the Northeast.
That's arbitrary, very random.
And it didn't have anything to do with the plot. Here's what I'll say. Save your time. The movie sucked. Yeah. The movie sucked. Not like Wonder Woman 1984, but the pizza thing pissed me off to no end. He's like, oh, this guy must be from back East. But then it had no relevance to the plot. It was like, if you watch the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Well, you know, I will say, I don't think anybody's going to watch it after that. That was a hell of a fucking review.
You may have already watched it. And I want you to tweet me and Scary if you've already seen the movie. Or if you're going to watch it anyway. And tell me if you feel like they took an hour out of the movie somewhere.
That's a hard pass. Brody, did you mention Sleepy Time Solutions?
I don't know what that is. What are you talking about?
Pretty Litter. Pretty Litter?
What?
Did we talk about Pretty Litter on this podcast?
Is it kitty litter? It sounds like you may have mentioned it last week.
Well, we got an email.
I should listen to this podcast.
It says, "You made my day. I was listening to your podcast while exercising and heard you talking about my pretty litter scamboni." This was Kate, the woman who emailed us about the pretty litter scamboni. We read this email.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
"I wasn't expecting it, and it made me smile. I've been a listener of the Big Show for 16 years and recently took a leap of faith and moved from New York City area to Maine to be closer to friends and family. As a result, I had to start listening to the on-demand channel." That's for the Big Show.
What's her first name, Kate?
Kate McKee, but she's the owner of Sleepy Time Solutions.
Okay, Kate, let me interject here for a moment, Kate. You can listen to us on iHeartRadio Live.
Yeah.
You don't have to listen to the on-demand channel, which you can when you miss something.
And aren't we on an FM station in Maine? I think we are.
Yeah, Maine's a big place. We're on in Maine.
We're on in Portland.
Cities. Portland, Maine. No, we're not.
No? All right.
We're in New Hampshire.
Portsmouth,
New Hampshire. Anyway, the point is,
Z107, the coast's hit music station.
Right.
The sea coast.
We are on 75-ish radio stations at any given moment.
Yep.
You can listen to the feed on any of those stations on iHeartRadio, like Z100 New York, for instance, your old radio station, mm-hmm. and listen live. Who said you couldn't? So we're here to educate you.
Yeah.
And anyone else, you can go to elvisduran.com/howtolisten, and you can find out all the ways you can listen for free. That's all. Public service announcement. I expect you to listen live to the Elvis Duran Morning Show now.
I can go on all day. We have someone wants to come at you, Brody. They want to come at you. Some guy.
Not the way that you're describing it.
He wants to get in your face.
Beat me up or debate me on something?
Debate you.
I don't fight.
Of course. It was Andrew Crope who has a problem.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
He can't crope with the situation?
Hey, slice for life. Here's the shit sandwich. Love you guys. Out of the 161 episodes, y'all never bothered me. Always good stuff.
Okay.
I hated the last episode due to myself being in an MLM, multi-layer marketing company, full-time with my wife, and not everyone is the same. You guys kind of have every company, you put every company in a bad light. I get the same spammy assholes like you guys do and all the crappy products. But again, not everyone is the same. Not everything is a pyramid scheme and only winning if you're just on the top. Just thought I'd share with you guys. Still love you guys, but you both, both of us, right, are very wrong in that category. Very uneducated for the matter of, for sure. So Andrew and his wife are part of a, we called it a Ponzi scheme, like the LuLaRoe of the world, the pyramid schemes, right, where you can only, you know, get out and cash out after you get 10 people to join.
Here's what I'll say, Andrew. I will do a little more research, but here's what I'll say. And I'm glad you're slicing. You stuck with us, unlike Smashley.
Unlike Smashley.
Yep, there you go. You said it.
Fuck you, Smashley. Smash. I said
this. This is why she hates you. This is why she hates you.
Dude, I'm not going to get any love back from her. It doesn't matter. I can't. She can't hate me anymore.
You know what? We gave a great explanation. Someone who knows her is going to tell her how we felt. And she's going to come back, and then she's going to lose. We're going to lose her again.
They're going to be like, what are you going to be a dick for? What are you going to put a one-star review on the fucking Brooklyn Boys when you love them for 160 episodes? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, give us at least three. Give us 3 stars with an F. It's scary.
You want to take a star away from me? I don't care. Fine.
No. Okay, as far as I don't want to delve too hard into this. The problem with most, and Andrew, I can't speak for your company. You could be the best top of the pyramid guy ever. I'm not saying it's pyramid. Let me rephrase that. Top of the multi-layers. You could be on the multi-level level one.
You call them.
But somebody is at level 37 and they're not getting anybody for 38 and they're fucked. That's how it works. If you're at level one, you will never meet level 38. You don't have everyone come to the office. You don't have all the levels get together for a big thing unless you take out a convention and you're like, oh, buy my tapes and books on how to do market. Most, I can't, Andrew, again, if you have reinvented MLM,
God bless you.
Notice I didn't say MLM marketing because that's redundant. If you've reinvented MLM, congratulations to the LMs below you. I'm just saying for normal companies, somebody at level 93 is not getting level 94. And unless you reimburse level 93 for their inability to get 94,
right,
it could be a problem.
And the more people have been exposed to this, the more the less of a chance you have of getting out because you've asked everybody already. They've all been asked. So they're like, no, I'm done with that. I've heard about it before. I'm out. Or I already participating with this person. So again, at some point, it reaches a market saturation, and it's impossible to make money at some point.
If you are not Andrew and you find out what company Andrew is MLMing and you want to invest with Andrew, go right ahead.
Yeah,
we were just saying that, let's just say most MMLM can be a problem. And if you think most, we talked about this last month and we'll move on.
Right.
You're going to get stuck with a lot of merchandise in your basement. That's all I'm saying.
You got room for, you have breath for one more, Brody, that's complaining.
I got room for a lot
Alan
of
Lendon Goodrow. By the way, all these people have slid into my DMs on Instagram at Scary Jones. Brody should have taken offers from private buyers for his broken washer. All you have to do is make sure it's listed as is and no refunds. Because even though those private buyers aren't businesses, they may have the know-how to fix it or be able to get it fixed and still come out cheaper than a new one. Why not let them know what's wrong with it and let them make an offer? It's better than $0.
All right. I will tell you why. Because I just listed it. I took your advice before you gave it. And I listed them online, okay? I listed them last night. And I clearly said, the washing machine has this defect. It stops in the middle of the wash, and you're done. It says there's an SD error, not an S your own D.
Is that a suck dick?
Yep, not S your own D, I said it first. It's a suds error. However, it's an error that would come up if you have too many suds. It doesn't matter. There's no suds. I run it without suds. There's no soap, nothing. It's a glitch.
All right.
This
guy can double dip, by the way. He goes on again to something else. He's like going in.
All right. Hold on. I listed them. And I said everything, every detail, measurements, all the things that I replaced on the dryer. And I said the washing machine, I've replaced everything. It's new inside for the most part, except this error that I have not been able to fix.
Right.
Okay. 3 people contacted me within an hour. I'm interested. I want them. Well, I will come get them. I said, okay, do you have a hand truck like the listing says? Because I have 5 steps to my basement, right? Do you have a hand truck? And did you Did you read the description of the washing machine that there's a problem? Yada, yada, yada. They all wrote back, oh, sorry, not interested. The problem is people will say they read it. They'll think they can just get it fixed. They'll go, oh, you know what? I'll get the washing machine for $100. It's a $600 washing machine. I'll get someone to fix it for $100. Boom.
Yeah.
The problem is I have a PSE&G service contract, which means they come anytime I want for $7 a month. And they've tried numerous times and can't fix it. Now, somebody else might be able to fix it. But if you're Joe guy living in a house, you're not. You can watch all the YouTube videos you want. You're not going to be able to fix this thing.
So
I wanted to sell it to a place where they can use it for parts or replace the big
your
thing.
Point, you made your point. Let him continue because that was on Friday night.
I'm sitting right next to it right now.
That was on Friday night.
I have the new washing machine, right? That you know, I got a PC Richard. And I'm sitting next to the one that's broken because I wasn't able to get rid of it when they were here. I told you this. I had to change all the piping myself. Yeah. So I'm sitting next to it.
All right. So on Friday, he wrote to me. And then tonight, just 2 hours ago, he writes, hey, let me set this up. Last week, Brody made fun of me because I was one of 31 people that received the 2020 Standing Ovation Award, which was an award for the essential employees at iHeartMedia, and they gave me a nice framed glass plaque. Thank you, iHeartMedia.
Wait a minute. Is it one of the people that you're in with?
No. This guy is a listener. He says, and you called it a participation trophy, and it's not a real trophy. You basically poo-pooed my award. So Alan writes back that a participation trophy is different from what I got because the losers didn't also get one. Just like a championship ring is not a participation trophy for the Super Bowl because the Kansas City Chiefs didn't also get a Super Bowl ring just for playing.
Okay, here's where he's wrong, though. Blaine Gabbert. Do you know why Blaine Gabbert was trending on Super Bowl night?
No.
Blaine Gabbert is the backup quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't think, and I could be, look, if you're a Buccaneers fan, I apologize.
But he got a ring.
I don't think Blaine Gabbert played a snap this year. From what I know, he could have played, you know, during a blowout game. He had no impact on the playoffs, on the run, on the Super Bowl. He gets a ring, God bless him. That's how the rules are. I get it. But if he walks into a bar, he's like, look, I got a ring. They'll go, oh, who'd you buy it from? Oh, Blaine Gabbert. And he got he participated on the team. Do you know, like in Major League Baseball, if you like get traded after like 40 games, the team wins the World Series, you still get a ring?
Yes.
You still get a ring, right? I get that. That doesn't have the same level of when Tom Brady gets a ring, he earned the goddamn ring. So Blaine Gabbert was trending because people were like, dude, Blaine Gabbert got a Super Bowl ring. And I'm happy for Blaine Gabbert. I'm sure he's a good man, a good husband, a good father. But he didn't do anything.
Is that his 2020 Standing Ovation Award?
Yes. Blaine, go look on Twitter. He was trending.
All right. All right. Great.
He's the backup quarterback to Tom fucking Brady.
How do we fall so far behind, Brody? We got so much to get to. I didn't talk about the dusty old box.
Wait a minute. Is this the thing about your aunt?
Yeah, it's kind of sad. I don't want to bring it down, but I kind of want to talk about it. And then I know you have a million things you're busting.
Well, I want to do that, and the audio will come back. But let me do a couple of quickies here.
Go ahead.
I got in trouble. My wife and daughter bought some stuff at Victoria's Secret. Maybe January, pre-pandemic. Then the pandemic hit, and the malls closed, and nobody left their house, and whatever. So this bag of girly stuff has been sitting in the closet waiting to be returned. And my wife says to me a couple of weeks ago, yeah, you know what? That bag, because I was like, what's with this bag? Yeah, it's too late. They're never going to take it back. I said, you leave it to old Mr. Brody here.
Yeah.
I will have it returned. Not to worry. So I figured I'll just explain pandemic. They got to make an exception. No problem. So I go in, and if you've ever walked into Victoria's Secret by yourself as a man.
I have.
If you're really good looking.
I actually farted in there once and just walked out.
Oh, nice. If you walk in and you're really good looking, they assume like, oh, yeah, you're buying something for your hot girl. Yeah. But I feel like when I walk in, they look at me like, oh, here's a guy who likes to wear underwear, girl's underwear. Or like he wants to look at the posters or Google people.
Yeah, you can't walk into the single. Or if you are a single guy, and I've done this before, you've got to go right to one of the people on the floor
and ask for help.
Hey, I'm looking for this person.
Right.
Otherwise, if you're just creeping around, feeling all the underwear in between the racks, that's a little awkward.
Right. Okay. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with men wearing ladies' underwear. I wasn't saying there was. I'm saying you get that look like, I'm not here to buy stuff for women.
I'm here to just ogle.
And I get to the register, and there's nobody behind the counter when I first get there. So I'm standing there, kind of just staring at the desk, and I feel like the women are looking at me like, who's that guy just staring? Because right behind the register is three posters of beautiful women in lingerie.
Yeah.
So it looks like I'm staring at the giant posters.
Or the mannequins.
there weren't any mannequins behind the register.
But, right, but still. Yeah, okay. But the same point.
There's some hot mannequins there. So anyway, I go to the register and I do the return and I explain, you know, COVID, blah, 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 pandemic. And they, not a problem, take everything back. And the girl behind the counter was a no-noser.
Yeah, she She was wearing a chin diaper. We call that.
Right, but not on purpose.
She was wearing the mask on her chin, or covering her mouth only, not the nose.
The problem was, and this isn't even part of why I bring up the story, she was wearing a blue surgical mask, like the paper ones.
Yep.
And it wasn't tight fitting and it wasn't adjustable. And so she was chewing gum like a cow. So every time her mouth dropped to open her mouth for the gum,
right, the mask would lower.
Went down. So she would go and have to put the mask over her nose. Mask over her nose. So she would occasionally forget as we're talking and I would keep
talking. Right, but something tells me that's not what the point of this is.
It bothered me because she was a gum chewing noser. Oh. Because don't chew gum if your mask doesn't fit.
Did you get your goods taken care of?
I get the return. We'll mail you a refund. It'll take 6 weeks, whatever.
Good.
I now feel like, let me get the fuck out of here.
Right.
Because
of course.
I got to get out of here. I'm alone and there's women behind me online. I was like, have a nice day, ladies. I was like trying to get out. And then as I turn the corner, there is a woman who's a little bit larger I wasn't oogling, very, very large breasts.
Like J cups.
Yeah, I guess, look, again, she was an oversized woman with, I mean, like basketballs. And she had her hands.
She had K cups. Not the coffee kind.
She was trying on a big bra, right?
Right.
Over her shirt. And, you know, women like to make sure it fits right.
Right.
Adjust right.
Did you get
As I turned the corner,
oh, God.
Her hands were on her own breasts over the bra.
Oh, man.
Like pushing them and like making sure the bra was fitting right. And of course, when you turn a corner, whatever's in front of you catches your eye.
Yep. And what was in front of you?
She was. Her boobs.
Big bouncing boobs.
So I kind of like look at her. And I do like a, because I almost walked into her, right? But she looks at me
I'm
like,
playing this because this is an unfortunate misfortune of David
so
Brody.
She and her friends, because she was with two girlfriends, look at me like, why are you looking at my tits, creep? And I'm like, I wasn't. No look. Right? Like a Seinfeld, no pick.
Yeah.
But because, and she wasn't a short woman, so her boobs were almost at my, like, almost my chin level. So, like, looking at them, I wouldn't have had to move my head. And I went, ugh. And as she, I reacted like I was given the, ugh. Because she's grabbing her own boobs.
Yeah, that's awkward.
So I got boob accused.
Boob accused?
Boob accused.
From those tiggle bitties?
From the woman with naturally, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I was trying, but I wasn't looking.
All right. Well, okay, so that's fine. Shit happens.
Yeah. Okay.
I still like to go in there to fart because it's beautiful. It smells so nice in there. Oh, you know what's even better place?
No, you go to the Yankee Candle. Yes,
that's
always
right.
Fart in Yankee
Candle. You can always cover it up. You just walk in there and go.
Or the
and just
body
walk
shop.
Out. The body or shop.
The,
right? Those places
that Body Works.
Or even even in Abercrombie. It smells like someone dropped a case of cologne in there every time you walk in. Like somebody dropped perfume and didn't clean it up.
Here's what you do. You go over to the sample stuff, and you spray it like you want to see how it smells, but you do it as you're farting.
You go,
right, but then you're already spraying like, oh, this smells like leather. Oh, yeah, I like this.
That Auntie Anne's not sitting good with me right now.
Well, you can also fart by Auntie Anne's because that's cinnamon or like Cinnabon. You can fart by Cinnabon because the cinnamon covers up,
Where else would you fart?
By Cinnabon.
Cinnabon.
That's the best place.
Cinnabon, Yankee Candle.
Or a place that sells cauliflower because no one will ever notice over the cauliflower
and Abercrombie
smell.
Because it smells like cologne.
Abercrombie and farts.
Oh, God.
Abercrombie and shits.
All right. And we got to take a break and then we got some things to cover. All right.
I got a vodka chicken parm panini problem.
Oh, yeah. And I have a problem.
And we have sound.
And I have to talk about the dusty old box.
All right. We'll get to that right after this.
Brooklyn Bars Podcast with Brody and Scary.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. You know, all right, we'll
the Dusty Old Box is, I think we should finish on Dusty Old Box.
You want to finish on that? We got sound. Good God,
I know, but
Brody.
Can I just tell you my chicken parm panini story? Because I want your opinion.
Yeah, fine. Go for it. Hit it.
This is not a Scamboni.
Yeah.
But I feel like they tried to Scamboni me. So have the jingle ready. I'm not going to name the place. There's a place in New Jersey where the guy is from Brooklyn. They sell a Brooklyn slice, which is basically a ripoff of L&B Spumoni Gardens. Their logo is a Brooklyn Bridge. And I want you to know, I love them. Love them. The pizza is fat.
They're
out of my
probably
way.
Listening.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. I went in last week. I happened to be where I was going to visit my mom.
Oh, you're wearing your Brooklyn Boys shirt.
I was wearing my Brooklyn Boys shirt. So my mom loves the shirt.
The hoodie?
No, the gray t-shirt, property of.
Yep.
And so I walk in wearing my Brooklyn Boys podcast t-shirt. And they're all in Brooklyn Bridge shirts. And nobody noticed my Brooklyn boy shirt, which I thought was odd.
That's so
that
weird.
They wouldn't go, oh, Brooklyn.
Hey, Brooklyn, hey, Bridge,
I even
logo.
Ordered the Brooklyn slice. But one of the things they sell, which I have every time I'm there, no matter what pizza I get, I cannot not get this. It's a chicken parm panini with vodka sauce.
Oh, yeah.
And they have it up on the counter, like, you know, in the pre-made stuff, like it's there. And when you order it, they sauce it and melt the cheese, put it in the oven, you're done. Okay. So I get that. I order ahead so I can run in, run out. And I want to say it's maybe 20 minutes from my mom. So on the way from my mom there, I like to do a little snacky, a little eat and run, a little eat and drive. I take out my chicken palm panini to take a, just to take a little bite as I'm driving. It's like a pocket of food. It's fantastic.
Right.
I get my napkins ready because the sauce just oozes out. It's so good.
Yeah, baby.
And I take a bite and it's dry as a rock. I open it up at the red light and it looks like there's a little bit of an orange haze on the bread. Like either it was buttered or like they took a paintbrush and they painted it with light orange or light pink. You could just faintly see the bread is discolored.
What was going on there?
There's no sauce.
Oh, boy.
So at this point, I'm 5 minutes from my mom. I'm like 20 minutes away. I call back and I say, hey, listen, I ordered this big thing. I spent like $50 on pizza and food for my mom that she wanted. And
right.
I said, hey. I said, listen, I ordered the chicken parm panini. There's no vodka sauce on it. Now, we've all heard this excuse before, and I was very surprised that they tried this on me. They said, oh, it must have absorbed into the bread.
That's a scamboni.
That's a scamboni. That's...
No, it doesn't
That's
happen.
Not what happened.
Scamboni.
That's... Yeah, yeah, we know. That's you trying to, like, say to me, oh, no, it's in there. It's like when you... Like, oh, the cheese, it must have melted in. It's
it must
there.
Have. Must have. It's must not. Have. No, it doesn't. It's not. It when doesn't absorb, that- you dicks. And don't... Aren't you a grown-ass adult to know that that's not the way that that... That you know, substance right. reacts with bread. Give me a
first
fucking
of
break.
All. First of all, I have it at least twice a month, right? I've had it 30 times in the past year or two.
Nah, they Whatever fucked the up. Math or is. Maybe they gave you an old piece, or maybe it was the end of the batch, and like you know, we're just gonna try and make one more out of this.
If you're telling me that the giant, I got my napkins ready because the sauce always squirts out. If you're telling me that much sauce absorbed into the panini bread. And by the way, if you're a baker and you're going to tell me that the average panini could take in 9 ounces of vodka sauce, don't tweet me. I don't want the science behind it.
I got to say,
if the sauce is gone, Scary, it's been sitting there for 3 days. If the sauce you put on, because I got there, I want to say it was 2 o'clock, roughly. Mm. If by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 ounces of sauce has absorbed into the bread, then I want new bread and new sauce. So the guy says to me, well, what do you want me to do? You want to come back? I'll give you a little sauce on the side. I say, I'm not going to come back. I'm 20 minutes away. That's going to put me 40 minutes out to visit my mom. I got to go 20 minutes back, 20 minutes back.
Right.
I say, I can't come back. He said, what do you want me to do? I said, well, you know, I'm a regular customer. I don't know. Maybe you can give me a better one next time I come in. I don't know. I get you the sauce. Hold on. He says, this guy says, I told him to send the bread. The guy goes, well, give him another one. So he comes back. He goes, I will give you a credit for next time you come
okay,
in.
Okay, good.
My point is, the guy was like, tried to give me the old absorbed into the bread.
No.
Okay, but here's the thing. I'm eating the bread. I don't taste any vodka sauce.
Yeah,
so
no.
If it absorbed into the bread.
You would have tasted it when you chewed it, right.
Right. Wouldn't Fuck the bread this. Be like the juiciest, vodka-est sauces?
No, Brody. You know what? Oh, God.
Don't scare. I'm as Italian as they come without being Italian.
You're not Italian.
I'm faux Italian.
What are you? What is your ethnicity?
I'm faux Italian.
What is your ethnicity?
Russian and Polish, I think. Gotcha. Look, I'm American. If you want to, America.
America. All right.
But my grandparents immigrated from Russia and Poland in a long, long friggin' time ago.
A long time ago.
My great parents were born in Europe. My grandparents migrated one set from Russia, one set was born here in America.
So
I'm fourth generation American on one half. Anyway.
There's something I want to tell you, and this is something I got to bring up here, and I don't even think I really mentioned this on the big show. I really haven't had the chance.
Are we doing sound last?
Yeah. So okay. my Aunt Millie, my great Aunt Millie, who I've loved as a grandma, she's treated me like grandson.
Yeah, you talk about Aunt Millie more than your parents sometimes.
I talked about it for 25 years on the radio.
Yeah, your Aunt Millie used to steal stuff for her. Used to steal coffee and different things.
Absolutely.
You stole an espresso maker. Love Aunt
Millie. She passed away at 96 years old last week.
God bless her.
And last week also, I was a little bit off. She had passed, but we were planning stuff in the background, funeral and things like that. And my head wasn't really in the game. But you know what? She lived a great life. And again, it was not, by the way, non-COVID related. Let's throw that out there right now because people always ask.
All right, Smashley's mad for bringing that up.
Anyone who passes away in this year, they always say, did they have COVID? Was it COVID related? Okay, let's put it this way. Most deaths, are not
Scary,
because of that.
Your right. aunt,
okay,
your
my aunt,
aunt
passed. Okay, I'm just saying.
Okay.
All right, so as it turns out, my mother calls my sister on the phone and she goes, all right, Jen, go get the box. And my sister's like, what? What box? Turns out in Aunt Millie's closet in her bedroom, she had, I'm calling it a death box. So there's no other better way to put it. So my sister's like, okay. She goes, I want you to read me whatever's instructions or if there's a note in there. So my sister goes into the closet and goes into the top right corner, and the big box is there, and there is the box. And she opens it up, and there is, this is kind of creepy, the clothes that my aunt wanted to be buried in, that my aunt chose. My aunt, let's go back 10 years, when she was living at the house, just had nothing to do on a Sunday afternoon.
Wow.
She had the foresight to be like, you know what? I want to put together my my end of life box or whatever you want to call it. So she literally put in. She's all right. I want this shirt, this dress. I want these shoes. She put everything in there, even her underwear and everything. She put all of her clothing in there, and then with the note, specific instructions. I do not want any jewelry on me. I do not want. I mean, I know this is kind of hard for people to listen to right now. This is kind of totally shifting gears. she wanted this rosary beads that she left in there too. She goes, I want this in my hands. I want my hands faced this way and this and that. And I don't want any flowers in the coffin. And she was so meticulous because I guess all the years that she was going to other people's wakes, she probably looked and she probably, I don't want that when I go. I don't want that. She made a lot of mental right. notes. So 10 years ago, she put together this box, put it in the closet. And then at some point in last year or so, she told my mother of its existence. So my sister had the job of reading to my mother on the phone, like all this long note and these specific instructions. So my mom could actually share it with the funeral home. Whoa, it's kind of crazy, right? Pretty heavy. Yeah. But, you know, I say this not, you know, you're like, where is he going with this? Is this a joke? Is this entertainment value?
No.
It's more of, is this a common thing? It's more of a question for you and the slices. Is this something that you've thought of in your healthier, sane, early life to say like,
not now.
But is this something you will eventually do and be like, you know what? As I get older in life, on a Saturday afternoon, there's nothing going on. It's raining. I'm not going out today. You know what? I'm going to go put together my end of life box and then start gathering things. I mean, with a note and writing a meticulous note.
Maybe at 93, I would consider it. But for instance, as a Mets fan,
yeah,
you might go, he probably wants to be buried in his Mets jersey. He probably wants. No,
well, I do not. Well, you're assuming these things.
No, I do not. I'll tell you why. I don't want my Mets jersey ruined. It's just going to get bugs eating it. It's going to deteriorate and break down. I don't want that. I want to bury me in crappy clothing, the shit I wore every day to work during the pandemic, t-shirts and jeans. And who's going to see me? Who's going to see me?
Right.
By the way, when I die, I will not be dressing for myself or anybody else, either or. I'm not dressing for anybody. I'm dead. But let me ask you a question, Scary.
Well, hold on. When you're Catholic, you know, you have an open casket.
No, I'm so glad I'm Jewish. Close that shit up. No, I do not want to see it. I don't want to know it. I'm very uncomfortable.
We had a traditional Catholic wake.
I want no
open casket. So we saw her. She had her dress on. She had everything.
Yeah,
that
so
we,
she
and by the way, we followed
nicely.
We followed her rules like just to a T. Yeah. So if, we okay, her wishes. Her, so if, wishes, if I, her last
if
wishes.
If I had a wake, now I would say I want to be in the wake. In the wake. In
well,
my.
By the way, why
jersey.
Do they call it a wake if you're dead? You ever wonder that? You're going to a wake, but it's. The person's that. All right, never mind. Continue.
Okay. By the way, tweet Scary. I don't want to know. also, by the way, big fail. When I asked you guys to tweet Scary for his birthday, please don't tweet me and Scary for his birthday. All right. Okay.
So anyway, continue on.
Here, I'm going to ask you a question, Scary. Whether it's your Aunt Millie or God forbid someday your parents, let's say Aunt Millie or your mom, for instance. Right? Make it a little closer to home because you'll probably eventually, you and your siblings will have power of attorney over your parents, right?
Right.
Let's say your father passes on at 90, your mother lives to 97. Your mother,
I'm hoping for hundreds, but okay.
Hundreds, you're right. Your mother outlives your father because that's how it normally works. That's the norm. And you and your two siblings are in charge of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you open up your mom's box, pun intended, and it says, I want to be buried with my $35,000 engagement ring.
Wow.
It means so much to me. Your father gave it to me. And
so you're saying at some point when it comes to something of value, you have to draw the line.
Right, like, I'm making up a number. I don't know what a ring's worth, but let's say it's a $30,000 ring because she got it in the 60s And now it's worth much. It's a, and she's like, oh, I want to be, it's a symbol of my love to your father. You have $30,000 ring. Do you mock up a zirconia, a cubic, right? And have a replica put in, right? Or does like you, and you don't tell your brother and sister and you just put it on and nobody knows, or at the wake, you put on the fake ring and nobody knows. They're all like, oh, Roseanne wanted to be buried in the ring. There's the ring, but it's a fake ring, right? Would you put $30,000 into the hole because some dead woman wanted you to do it? And no one's ever going to know. She's not going to know.
That's a tough. Well, yes, she's looking down.
She's dead. She's looking down. What is she going to do from looking down? When you get to heaven, she's going to go, Anthony.
I don't know. Maybe she's going to haunt my house.
So you take the $30,000 ring. You buy it. You put $10,000 into charity for her, for whatever she passed away from. And you take $20,000 and maybe, oh, you know what? You know what would make your mother happy? What if you took the ring and gave it to your girlfriend someday and you proposed to her with her ring? Well, she'd forgive you at that point, right? If you propose,
so you're trying to say that if you make a death box, again, a morose name for this,
don't put anything valuable.
Everything's fair game until you know. I want gardenias in the casket. Right. I want to look
Rich,
like this.
You can Google this, but sometimes rich people get buried with their piano or in their car. You can look. Rich people have like, I want to be buried in my Porsche, dude.
Stop it.
I'm not burying you in your Porsche. I'll buy a Volkswagen.
Right. So you take it to a certain limit, and then it's like, you know what? Yeah, if the cost of what's going in the hole with them is more than the cost of the funeral and everything else.
Yeah. And I'm not, look.
That's where you draw the line. That's where Brody draws the line.
Right. I'm not saying if you're poor and you can't live and this money will keep you. Like, I'm saying if it's just a nice thing. Like, it'd be a bonus. You buy a nice car, down payment on something. Right. You can go vacation, right, for $30,000 to Europe, whatever. I'm not saying you need that $30,000 to live because you're starving. Right. Then it's a no-brainer usually. And I get if you're so religious that you couldn't, I get it. But I'm talking about everybody else.
Right. All right. Look,
mainstream, Scary, what would you do?
I would Anthony. I would not honor those wishes.
Right.
That's where I draw the line.
What if your mom hears this and says, Anthony, I heard the podcast. despite that, I'm going to put your brother Steven
in charge
with the non-Italian name.
Which means you just fucked me. Thank you, Brody, by putting me in this situation.
Okay, but you know your brother and sister.
Right.
Would they put the $30,000 ring in the hole?
No, I don't.
Right.
All right. We rest our case. But anyway, it's interesting to think about if people are playing these kinds of things. I never thought about it until I realized that, wow, this is the first.
Well, what's the one thing? Give me one thing you'd put in your death box.
Oh, in mine?
Yeah, what would be in your death box? Your $97 million sound system?
I want my cell phone in there.
That makes sense.
I'm kidding.
But even if it's new, let's say you die when it's an iPhone 49, right? iPhone 49. You want your brand new iPhone 49 put in there? Or you want like your old 12 from now that you saved so you have a phone with you?
You know, I don't know what I want. I don't know. I would forget it. Anyway, cremate me.
I want free dessert. That's what I want. Yeah. I want my funeral to go wrong, and somehow my family benefits and gets a free funeral thrown in.
So listen, we've already gone long. We have 8 pieces of sound to get to. We got to do this kind of quick, right? So
right.
Unless you want to save it.
You know what? Okay.
Isn't your family going to be knocking down the door in a second? I mean,
No. We got a few more minutes. I think my wife's going to Costco first.
All right, good. All right. So here we go. Let me
look at the list I sent you. And I'll see if there's anything
I wanted to start with Amazon.
Amazon. Yeah. So I got a tweet. Oh, damn it. I know you can start for Amazon. I got a tweet this week. It maybe it'd been yesterday. I don't know if it was a tweet or shit. Somebody tweeted and said it was a scamboni from Amazon and that they got this message and they want to know if we've talked about it. And I said, yeah, absolutely. In fact, it happened to me, but I thought we didn't play the sound because I sent it to you 2 weeks ago. So I got this message. You tell me if you think it's legitimate or not at home.
5 p.m. We have found some suspicious activity in your Amazon account. An order has been placed for iPhone 10 from your Amazon account, and the card linked to your account has been debited for $399. If you have not placed this order, press 1 to speak to the fraud department to cancel it urgently. Thanks for your time. Have a nice day ahead.
Have a nice day ahead. By the way, sounds like a speak and spell, if you remember those things.
But why is it? That's the second scam I've played. One was the Social Security office or whatever, where they go, have a nice day. You're going to go to all the trouble to get a computer-generated voice and write a script. Can't somebody say, have a nice day? Listen to the Bon Jovi song.
Have a nice day ahead.
Oh, you had me. I was about to call.
Well, because these people are speaking different languages. They're just hoping.
But why is it always have a nice day? Why is that where they lose you at the end?
You lost me at Anyway, new recording. How about this one? This is a new...
New recording?
Yeah, this is another machine. It says new recording on here.
I don't know what it is.
It's a wild card.
Stop.
Let me explain this. So, you know, sometimes people call a wrong number.
Yeah.
This woman called a wrong number, obviously, and she's apologizing to her friend for something and blaming people like you, Scary. So make it a little bit louder. This is the voicemail.
Loud as it goes. Number. Here it is.
I apologize, but I didn't do it. The radio station, two of them, gave me the weather report. Obviously, they were incorrect. Sorry. Because it turned out to be a beautiful day, but I'll see you tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. Bye.
So it's not even, okay, so that's a wrong number, but I will say this. There was a day last week where they called for snow, and then all of a sudden everyone was left with egg on their face because it turned out to be a nice day.
She was apologizing to her friend on her, she called the wrong number.
On a different answering machine.
And she's like, don't blame me, it was a nice day. Two radio stations told me
that's very funny. Zoo Crew, how about that one?
Zoo Crew. Let me see what this is. Zoo Crew. So this is Seth Meyers, who I fucking love, doing his Closer Look segment. Now, the clip is political. I'm going to tell you that. He's talking about the people that rioted in the Capitol mentioned him as they were being filmed, right? They mentioned his name, Senator Ted Cruz. But he made an analogy, and at the end, he totally nails our morning show in describing it. So play
the clip, I want to hear this.
And you'll hear it.
Cool shout out, Ted. Congrats. That's like the seditionist version of getting a song dedicated to you by the Morning Zoo Crew. This insurrection goes out to Ted from Calgary. Thanks for helping us overthrow a democracy, Ted.
They play the air horns. I love it. We've been using the same exact air horns on our morning show. I love it.
So Seth Meyers, in goofing on morning zoo, morning radio crew type things, played the air horn in making fun of Ted Cruz. I thought that was funny.
This is discreet. How about that?
Okay. This is a commercial. This is where you want to get the Grammar Police jingle ready. This commercial is for a product called Discreet. I know it's called Discreet, but you still have to use proper grammar.
I can't play two banks at the same time. Sorry, you don't get the Grammar Police jingle because on this bank.
Then hit the Grammar Police jingle because I got a couple of Grammar Police clips here. You got the Grammar Police?
Yeah, I do. I got
$97 million. You can't play two clips?
Not at the same time, Dick.
Well, then you got to upgrade. Time to upgrade.
Hold on, I got
to
get the Grammar Police jingle for you, you son of a bitch.
I did tell you to have it ready.
It's ready. It's just in a different sound bank, you dick.
What do you got in your bank? $97 million for a sound
system. Where is this fucking thing?
All right, Grammar Police. Grammar Police. All right, we're good.
Where is it?
I can't wait for you.
You know what? You suck.
Mike Francesa, stop scrolling.
No, I got to find it. I got to go all the way back for this shit.
What? Back in time? Oh, that's another clip. Time travel.
Grammar Police. Grammar Police. Grammar Police.
Okay, this is going to be a couple of Grammar Police things going on.
I'm going to give you three in a row. These are paid commercials.
You got the Craig Robbins?
Yeah, and Alicia Keys. Play the Discreet.
Now I got to go back all the way to the bank that has all the sound on it, you schmuck.
What kind of stupid bank is this?
All right. All right, here we go.
Nobody likes adverbs anymore.
This is Discreet.
Go ahead.
New Always Discreet Boutique Black. I feel protected all day. And if it's so discreet, you'd never know they're for bladder leaks.
No.
Always Discreet Boutique.
No. It fits discreetly. It doesn't fit discreet.
Yeah.
It's like when you go,
I see what she's trying to say there. See, the problem is the product is called discreet,
right.
But in the way she used it in a sentence, it has to be discreetly. Yeah.
It's right. It's like when you say, you did amazing.
Black. I feel protected all day. And if it's so discreet, you'd never know they're for black.
Ooh, yeah.
Right. Now, you could say it is so discreet, but once you use fits, The discreet is the modifier to the word fits.
She's using creative license adverb. On that, I guess.
No,
we're gonna
the writer
that.
Should have said it fits. It's so discreet, or the you know. But she said it fits. The verb is fits, and it hits it. Okay.
Well,
so,
that's you know.
Craig Robinson, who we all love from The Office.
Yeah.
You're gonna know right away because you're always guilty of this.
Yep, I know where this is going too.
Pizza
I heard this.
Hut commercial.
I heard this one. Yeah.
Go ahead, Pizza Hut, Craig Robinson.
Man, me and Pizza Hut go way back.
No, me and Pizza Hut. No, it's Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut and I.
Somebody's got to say to him. So I
saw this commercial and said that I flagged it right away because I make this mistake all the time.
You do.
But the problem is in common English language lexicon, the way we
That's
all
not English language, though.
The way we talk, the way most of America.
Yes, but this is a commercial.
But the most.
This is a script.
But he's trying to be relatable. He's trying to sell a product, you dick.
So he's
like, you know what? I want to speak the way America speaks so I could sell more of this.
Are you saying people who speak with bad grammar eat Pizza Hut?
No, I'm saying that because the majority of Americans would talk like this guy, they say, you know what? I see a little bit of myself in this guy.
That's how Craig Robinson speaks, and no one had the balls to go up to him and
Craig
say,
Robinson.
Hey, Craig.
Man, me and Pizza Hut go way back. I've been playing this game since 82.
You wouldn't say me go way back. You can't say me. Okay. Right. Alicia Keys. Alicia Keys has a new commercial.
She does.
All right, play it.
Me and some amazing artists are playing a first of
its
kind.
No, it's not me and some.
Because you wouldn't say me are playing.
Right. No, we know the proper terminology. But once again, I'm going to go back to Craig Robinson on that. She speaks like she speaks.
Alicia Keys is better than that. I love Alicia Keys. She's better than that.
Me and some amazing artists.
Nope.
Okay. Now, we've all loved the movie Back to the Future.
Of course.
Okay? Back to the Future is not about going to the past. It's about going to the past and then doing what? Going back to the future, which is our present. Right?
Correct.
So he goes to the 50s and then has to go back to the 80s, which in the 50s is the future. Right?
Right.
So Back to the Future is forward time travel.
Correct.
But people always say, ugh, I'm going back to the future when they're talking about going back in the past.
No.
It's always used wrong. Hold on. Don't hit the clip when I'm still talking, you bonehead. Now go back to the future to before you played that. See, it doesn't work. Okay. Now this is this guy uses the term Back to the Future in a way I've never heard before. The first guy, Nate Burleson, good announcer. This is pre-Super Bowl. He's talking to Ian Eagle. And Nate Burleson actually uses the right TV show analogy, right? He says that I did a show last week, Ian Eagle, with your son just last week. And now I'm doing a show with you. And he says it's like Quantum Leap. Now, Quantum Leap, you could jump around timelines.
Yes.
Right? Well, you could have maybe jumped into different situations, right? Not necessarily perfect analogy comparison, but okay. For some reason, doing a radio show with the guy's son last week and doing a radio show this week with the father got him to say this.
I feel like I'm in an episode of Quantum Leap because I work with your son, Noah, and now I'm working with Ian.
Yeah.
This is the best job ever.
Yeah. We've gone back to the future here.
Oh, Ian.
You haven't gone anywhere. There's no time travel.
No, he just wanted to fill it with some kind of reference to a show or a movie that talks about time travel.
You have not gone to the past.
He was just trying to make a random time travel reference.
Right, but everybody's like, oh, nice outfit. You going back to the future?
That's okay. He still makes a lot more money than us. So he gets to make those mistakes on national TV during the Super Bowl.
His name is spelled Ian. But he pronounces it Ian.
He's a Brooklyn guy, by the way.
I know, and he's very talented. I've been listening to him for years.
He's from Brooklyn. Yeah. All right. So, we got one more.
You know who else is from Brooklyn?
Who? Your mother.
Adam, your mother. She is.
Adam Richman, the guy who eats weird shit on TV.
Yes, he's got a new show coming out. We're not a sponsor. Adam Richman. He grew up in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn, where Roland Roaster is, where I mentioned earlier.
We talked about that earlier.
He worked for me at Red Robin.
Huh.
And had been to parties at my house. So I decided to finally tweet him, not to bother him, because he's famous now.
Right.
And be like, hey, Adam. You know, like, hey, just congratulations on the new show. I got a blue check mark next to my name on Twitter, so I know he's going to see my tweet.
Yeah, what did he say?
He goes, hey, remember Red Robin the old days?
Yeah.
I worked there.
What did he say?
That 3 days now. I haven't heard from him.
So. Of course not. You're not going to.
Okay.
And now we got anything left? Live later, and then we got to go. We got to say, see you later.
Oh, I got this major, major audio. Okay.
And we got to go back to the future. We're at 90 minutes. We got to go.
I don't know what live later is. Let me see. Hold on.
Live play. Later.
Hold on. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I'm watching the news, cable news.
Yeah.
And she says in the clip, she says, oh, the president is about to speak, right?
Yep.
Okay, so they weren't going to cut away to him when he speaks. Here's what she says. I'll explain why she's wrong, and then we'll play it again.
President Biden is making some remarks inside the Oval right now, according to that group of reporters in the room. We're going to play that for you live when we get it.
Oh, there was a problem right there because you're not lying. If you're going to play it, when we get it, that means we're going to record it first and you're not going to hear it live. They're going
to,
but the only thing that they can do live is play it out in real time. So when they hit the point,
the president, go to him live, okay. But don't say
remarks inside the Oval right now, according to that group of reporters in the room. We're going to play that for you live when we get it.
That's a physical impossibility.
Before you nitpick slices.
No, they're gonna tell the slices.
She's live. She's live, right?
Yeah.
But you can't play it live, even though you're live. You're not playing it
but
live.
But you could play it live in real time. Like when we, when we play our phone taps in the morning, they're clearly pre-recorded, right? On the Big Show, on the Elvis Duran Show, if you listen.
Right, but they're not live.
But they're not live. But I'm playing it live because it's not. What you're hearing is a live. You understand? It's in real time. I'm hitting the button.
Well, how would you?
But I'm hitting the button live at 7:21 when that goes on the radio. I'm playing it. I'm live playing.
But how would you play a phone tap not live?
If the show was pre-recorded altogether and I wasn't playing it, I wasn't there to hit the button.
Right, but as it's playing, it's live in the moment. The point is, she fucked up. The point is,
when we play music on the radio station. When I hit this jingle right here, I'm just going to play this jingle right here. Here. That's not even a jingle. I'm not going to. I can hit anything. I'm playing it live, even though it's pre-recorded sound. You see?
Right. But what she was saying was, we're going to play it for you live. How else could you play it for me?
I understand.
You're on a live news
network.
You're
being nitpicky. Whatever. All right.
Well, speaking of nitpicky, if you're on TikTok, there's we don't have time for this, right? Because I'll do it next week.
Let's save it. I got something else too that I didn't get to.
All right, there's a young girl. I think she lives in Canada. She popped up in my For You page, and this video I didn't realize till after the fact has 2.7 million likes.
Ugh.
Okay, and I had like a million views, and it's one of these. I was today years old when I heard this. Okay,
right.
Everything she says that she just learned. Are fallacies. Remember we talked a couple of weeks ago, whatever it was, like golf does not mean gentlemen only, ladies forbidden.
Yes.
Okay. I got to look up what that's called. It's like a false anagram or false initials.
All right. Well, we'll have it for next week. Why are you even teasing it if we're going to do it right here?
I'm not going to tell you the account, but when you hear this audio.
Oh, no. You want to punch the fuck. You want to throw your phone out the fucking window.
Oh, my God. Everything she says is wrong.
All right.
And all the comments are like, oh my God, it's brilliant.
The boy's from.
But you know what?
You know where she's from.
That shit
I know.
Soaked into the bread.
In Brooklyn.
The boys from Brooklyn. Brooklyn. The boys from Brooklyn.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.